Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Black and Abdallah, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Thursday, not this Thursday, next Thursday coming your way. The Bears hold the first overall pick and, of course, the ninth overall pick in the first round of the 2024 NFL draft, which will be coming your way Thursday, April 25th with that first round. And, of course, the second and third round Friday night, not as much interest in that because the Bears don't have a second round pick. Or will they? Because all of a sudden, Tyler Aki, you and I have been reading and watching. We are in the heat and throes of mock draft season, Tyler.
What's your favorite stage of the mock drafts?
So I think we are in the midst of it. Because the early mock drafts, I shrug off a little bit because I know that NFL head coaches haven't really, because the early mock drafts, which are still going on during when they start coming out, as soon as the college football season ends, before the NFL playoffs have wrapped up, a lot of NFL head coaches, the combine hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
I feel like there's still a lot of speculation going on from the draft analysts, and you haven't gotten enough circulation of the rumor mill to kind of feed into informed speculation, right? And so those early mock drafts, while they might whet your appetite, I think there's a lot more going on that you can't really, you know, you have to take it with a grain of salt. Whereas now, and this gets to kind of the heart of what we're talking about, you start to get informed speculation from insiders and people who cover teams on a regular basis. I think it all got kicked off with Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune, his most recent mock draft, in which he had the Bears, and we all know, if you missed it, Sylvie played it earlier, but Adam Schefter confirmed what we all know is going to happen earlier today on Get Up when he talked about the Bears' plans with number one overall, in case you've been living in a cave.
The Bears have the number one overall pick, and you could put it on the bottom line right now. The Bears are expected to take Caleb Williams at number one. This is the possibility that they've been preparing for all along. They've been planning for it. They traded Justin Fields to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Caleb Williams is going to become the newest first-round pick in Chicago, a quarterback trying to make it in a way that some of the other quarterbacks there that they've used first-round draft picks on haven't been able to make it in the past. And Greeny, you know that city very well. There's a long line of quarterbacks that they've taken at that slot. But Caleb Williams will come in with huge expectations. They're making plans for him. Everything's underway. He's going to be the number one pick in this upcoming draft.
So there you go. If there was any doubt in your mind, I think Adam Schefter has put that out of reach. Caleb Williams can go ahead and basically figure that's going to be the Bears pick at number one. Not that there was really any doubt, but for those who maybe are listening right now and you were trying to, for whatever reason, if you are not a Caleb fan, if you're a Bears fan, find a way to get on board, because Caleb Williams is going to be your starting quarterback in the near future. And I would expect, for all intents and purposes, I think he will be the Bears starter in week one. So there you go. Now the question remains, though, what are the Bears going to do with the ninth overall pick? And as I mentioned, Brad Biggs in his most recent mock draft had the Bears trading out of the ninth spot. And it was alarming to both you and I, because he had the receivers, two receivers, still on the board in his mock draft.
I haven't seen a mock draft where, and I don't even think the situation can feasibly play out, where the Bears have a choice of receiver at nine.
Right, yes.
Let alone, like, there's plenty of drafts that I've seen where the Bears won't have a choice of receiver at nine unless they want to go into that next tier of guys like Brian Thomas or Keon Coleman or A.D. Mitchell, something like that. But if I look at what the Bears could do at nine, if you're passing on One of the receivers at 9, I have a hard time getting behind that.
Yeah, and if you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. We're hanging out till 8 o'clock because the White Sox game was postponed. Straight doubleheader coming your way tomorrow. Coverage begins at 12:30 right here on your home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago. The linchpin for why, in Brad Biggs' most recent mock draft, as to why there are two receivers on the board, is the fact that Oregon State tackle Talese Fuaga was picked in the top 8. And I think that's really critical because we all expect, I think most people at least expect four quarterbacks to go before the Bears pick at 9. Yeah. A lot of people think that it will be the first four picks in which you see the four quarterbacks come off the board. I think most people expect Joe Alt to be one of the next selections, whether it's by the Chargers or perhaps the Titans if the Chargers elect to maybe trade back. A lot of people anticipate Marvin Harrison Jr. will come off the board before the Bears have an opportunity to select. And then if the Falcons stand pat and don't trade out, a lot of people think they will take Dallas Turner or another edge rusher because they need a pass rush in Atlanta.
No doubt.
So the key seems to be someone like Talese Fuaga getting
or
drafted.
Or any of the other tackles. Like I've seen J.C. Latham's name around there as well.
And if that happens, then maybe, just maybe, two receivers will be on the board for the Bears and they'll have their choice.
Yeah.
I don't know if I think that'll happen, but I think it's very possible that one could be there.
Yeah, I think I'm growing. I've gone through these peaks and valleys with this where there was a portion of this mock draft cycle where I was like, you know, yeah, like the Bears are definitely going to have a chance to get one of the receivers. Then it got to a point where I was like, I don't know. I don't think they're going to have a chance. And now I'm starting to get back to, yeah, I think they'll get to have, there will be one there, but it may be more of a conversation as we get closer and closer of, now, could a team want to trade up for a guy like Roma Dunze or something like that? Especially that Falcons pick
is
what is kind of throwing a wrench in all these plans, I feel like, because the Falcons right now, they seem like they're going to go defense. Well, I think both you and I feel pretty good that the first 7 picks in this draft are all going to be offense. So for the Falcons, they may feel like, oh, we've got the number 1 pick here in our personal draft.
Mm-hmm.
Are we better off trading back, trying to surround Kirk Cousins with a little more infrastructure? Because that defense was bad last year. Can we go out and get maybe 2 starters in the draft, or like accumulate 2 extra starters in the draft on the defensive side of the ball and help out our quarterback in that fashion?
Because the Falcons have invested a lot on the offensive side of the ball over the last
few
years.
They've played fantasy football.
Absolutely. Kyle Pitts was 4th overall, right, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Drake London was also top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Bijan Robinson, a running back, which you don't see in this day and age, selected too often in the top 10. He was their first overall pick in the top 10 last year. Was he 7th?
I believe, yeah.
They've
and not just that, but the offensive line is something that they have invested a lot in as well in the draft over the past, 5 or so years?
And spent a lot of money.
And then you spent a lot of money on a quarterback this year.
Yeah, so the Falcons are, everything seems to point to, you would think they would add a defensive player, which is good for the Bears. The question is, all the other teams in the NFL who may be in on that final third wide receiver who is in that upper tier, they all know that that's the spot that they're likely going to have to go if to ensure that they get that wide receiver. So can they tempt the Falcons and make it worth their while to trade out of that spot and go up and get that 8th pick, which would be the spot where you would have to jump the Bears and potentially take the third wide receiver off the board? I think that's, you know, the one thing the Bears have to be guard against, I guess. If you're the Bears, if you're Ryan Poles, and you want a wide receiver in this draft, you have to be willing, I think, if you really want that guy, to maybe flip with the Falcons. Now, I'm not saying I would necessarily do that, but
I wouldn't.
But I'm just saying, like, I think if Ryan Poles has made up his mind that he wants a Dunze or Neighbors if they're there on the board, I think he has to at least be willing to entertain the idea of giving the Falcons something, because I do think other teams are going to be calling and asking the Falcons, what would it take for us to get up into that spot?
Right, and I think another interesting team could be the New York Jets as well, to kind of pair, because if you're the Jets, you got to go all in this year.
Yeah.
And you've already seen that with some of the moves that they've made. And it seemed like for the longest time, the Jets were going to be one of those teams that was going to go after an offensive tackle. You could almost put it in Sharpie that that's who they were going to go after. And then they signed Tyron Smith as their left tackle to bolster up the line for Aaron Rodgers. So the Jets now maybe in that wide receiver conversation, because they have a pretty good defense. Your offense could use a little bit of help there. You've got Aaron Rodgers. You've got Garrett Wilson. You signed Mike Williams, but who knows? Yeah. Mike Williams on that turf, like, who knows how that situation is going to play out this year. You probably want as much as you can offensively to support what you've got, because the runway for you is very short right now with the quarterback that you have.
And I'm of the mind, I personally, Tyler, would really like to see Ryan Poles add a third wide receiver, a younger wide receiver, to pair with Caleb Williams. The truth is that we've been led to believe, based on what they've said up at Hallis Hall, they like Braxton Jones as a player. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't improve him, but the reality is, I look at what we saw from Justin Fields these last couple of years, and it's no secret. He held on to the ball far too long, right? And that's part of the reason why they had to get off of him. In fact, Phil Simms said it the other day on the Ross Tucker podcast about Justin Fields.
Just was not a good processor. You know, he had some really rough games, and everybody says the offense stinks and this. And I watch the tapes and watch it and go, there's people wide open everywhere. Wide open. First read of the throw it to him, he's going to get 20, and it didn't happen. Now, I thought he got a little better at the end, but Caleb Williams is clearly a better passer of the football, in my eyes, than Justin Fields.
Now, if you believe that, what Phil Simms said, just adding Caleb Williams to the mix is going to make the offensive line better, because he's going to be a better decision maker. I believe he will be. Mm-hmm. He will get rid of the ball quicker the way Shane Waldron draws it up. And I think that will give Ryan Poles, Ian Cunningham, Matt Eberflus the opportunity to evaluate Braxton Jones this year and determine, is this a serviceable left tackle? I would like to see that and then add another skill position player for Caleb Williams to work with and maximize his talents in his rookie year. And then you can see, okay, is Braxton Jones up to snuff? Because honestly, I do think if you believe in Braxton Jones as much as you've been trying to sell it to us, you should give him an opportunity with a quarterback working under center who's not going to necessarily hang his offensive line out to dry by holding on to the ball too long.
Because if Braxton Jones turns out to be good because of the reasons you've laid out there, this fixes a lot of future problems for the Chicago Bears. A lot of future problems. I kind of look at it this way. You can't build a football team overnight.
No.
It's the hardest to do. You've got a 53-man roster that you're working with. You can't build it overnight. You don't have to accomplish everything in this draft, in this free agency, what have you. That's a problem that I'm good with pushing to the 2025 draft or pushing to 2025 free agency. I think that, and I'm with you, it's not that Braxton Jones cannot be upgraded, because I think certainly he can. Almost every position on this roster feels like you can be upgraded to a certain degree, but it doesn't necessarily have to be upgraded this offseason. And I'm kind of like, we can do this when we come back, but I've got like a thought process of, this is who I want in terms of like position with my heart, and this is who I want with my head.
Okay. I love it.
We'll do that when we come back.
So there, Tyler's going to give you who he wants with his heart, who he wants with his head. Let us know who you want the Bears to take with your heart, and we'll let you know something that has us both a little bit gun-shy about potential trade-back, something that somebody who's very informed on what happens up at Hallis Hall shared with us earlier today that makes us a little bit anxious. We'll share that with you coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Chris Black and at Adam A. Abdallah.
Meller and Aki in for Black and Doll this evening, as we expected to have a White Sox game on right now here on ESPN Chicago. But The White Sox-Royals game has been postponed for this evening. You will get a White Sox doubleheader, straight doubleheader, tomorrow. Coverage starts at 12:30. Connor McKnight will have your pregame, and they will go straight through both games and wrap up the series tomorrow. And the White Sox will attempt to get themselves a third and maybe fourth victory on the season, as they are currently 2-14. Rough sledding up on the south side. Meanwhile, though, Tyler, we were talking about it as we were heading to break. The Bears, everything is optimistic right now. They're in a very good spot. Mm-hmm. Ryan Poles pulled off the coup of coups when he made the trade with the Panthers last year, and everything looks good on paper. It may end up being one of the best trades in NFL history when all is said and done. I mean, if Caleb Williams lives up to anything close to the hype that he has surrounding him, Ryan Poles will have done it. He will. I'm dead serious. Like, DJ Moore, Caleb Williams, I mean, Darnell Wright.
You built infrastructure out of that entire team. Tyreek Stevenson on the defensive side of the ball.
Like, and whatever becomes of next year's second-round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So,
which could end up being like a top 35, 40 pick.
Certainly. I could be 33 for all we know at this rate. So, high marks. And I will tell you, as a Bears fan, I have never been more optimistic than I am heading into this draft on next Thursday, this offseason. I wasn't in love with the way that free agency unfolded. Mm-hmm. It left me wanting a little bit. But the Keenan Allen trade kind of solidified where they were at, and it was a prudent move. You know, it's one of the old axiom, measure twice and cut once, right?
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what Ryan Poles did this offseason, and now he's put himself in a great spot. And now I hope they get everything right with the draft.
Yeah.
Now, you're of two minds.
Yes.
I've got,
and it's not a player in particular, but it is a position, all right, where I'm going, my head is telling me to take this, my heart is telling me to take the other position. My head is telling me, take an edge rusher. Because right now, that seems like the last missing piece of that defense, and the way that the timeline can work out. You've got Montez Sweat for four more years. You'll have this rookie to be alongside Montez Sweat for 4 years. After this contract's up, you'll say goodbye to Montez Sweat, and you'll funnel that money into this rookie, and along with the fifth-year option and all that, if it works out, mm-hmm. right? Which you're drafting guys under the assumption that they're going to work out.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially inside the top 10. I think that the edge rusher is such a significant piece to what this defense could be, because if it hits, and this edge rusher doesn't have the pressure to go out and be a star necessarily right away.
Yep.
It can grow alongside Montez Sweat, who his presence alone took this defense from being middle to back of the pack to inside the top 10 level good. And now you get a prolonged season of that. That feels like that second edge rusher is that missing piece. And the gap between who you have now on the roster in DeMarcus Walker to what you could potentially be bringing in with a top 10 pick rookie, who would be, in all likelihood, the second defensive player taken off the board. That, to me, the gap between Walker and what you could be getting is more significant than offensive line from Braxton Jones and wide receiver from, it would be Keenan Allen. I guess you're making him the third receiver on the team, but still, like, you still have Keenan. When you're looking at that pass catcher room, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, you've got a number of options inside that room.
Certainly.
Now, my heart is telling me receiver, because I think the wide receiver is, when you look at the way that offensive football is played right now, it's tough to not just get a little bit tingly inside about what you could have with that trio of receivers. And it may just be for 1 year. But let's say Keenan Allen isn't back next year, because, A, you're going to have to pay DJ Moore at some point. You're going to at least have to start to allocate some funds that way. And, B, you're going to have to start paying some other pieces on the defensive side of the ball. You're going to have to maybe invest a little bit more in the offensive line at some point. To me, I think that like the receiver, what you could have with a wide receiver to bring in, and there's no better wide receiver room to drop a young rookie into than alongside DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. And from a, I'm not saying it's the best receiver room, but from a professionalism standpoint and from a guys that can kind of take you under your wing, it doesn't get better than those two.
So
not to mention immense talent inside that room as well.
So, I get what you're saying about what your head's saying versus your heart. I am right there with you though. I want to heart your heart,
yeah.
Tyler, because I want the Bears to build up the offensive side of the ball as best as they possibly can, because in this NFL, if you're going to truly be a championship contender, you got to be great on offense. You just do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to start with the quarterback, obviously, but you think you're drafting that guy who will be the trigger man for a great offense in this city for really the first time, you know, not just a where you flare up for one season because you find something, but then you can't repeat it. The hope is that Caleb Williams is going to be the type of quarterback that puts you in a spot where you can have a top five offense year after year after year.
Yeah.
And I think that wide receiver, assuming he's on the board, whether it be Adunze or Neighbors, because I don't think Marvin Harrison will make it there. But whatever, if any of those three are on the board with the Bears selection, you laid it out exactly with the guys that this wide receiver would be brought into, who he could learn from. I think back to, you know, when Terrell Owens was drafted by Jerry Rice. This is before your time, but you know what? T.O., it was, you know, a great passing of the torch. T.O. Yeah. took over when Jerry Rice, he wasn't quite done yet, but the 49ers understood that they needed to get T.O. the ball, and he had an opportunity to learn from the best of all time. And while Keenan Allen and DJ Moore aren't that, you've got the opportunity here. What I loved about the Keenan Allen, DJ Moore pairing, DJ Moore absolutely feasts off of man-to-man coverage.
Yeah.
However, if he has a weakness, it's teams that play zone well. Well, guess what? You went out and you acquired the best zone-busting wide receiver in the NFL in Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen absolutely feasts on zone coverage. However, if you watch the NFL, you're probably a little bit familiar. Keenan Allen, he's not an absolute burner. He's a cagey vet.
That's why he doesn't always have the touchdown numbers that maybe match the yardage production.
He knows where to get down, to sit down in the middle of a zone and be there, be the security blanket for Justin Herbert, you know, and before that, Phillip Rivers for many years. So it's like the perfect pairing. Any team that's going to try and throw a man at you, guess what? DJ Moore is going to eat that alive. And guess what? You try and stop and count for DJ Moore, all of a sudden you've got Keenan Allen there. Well, what a perfect opportunity to go ahead and add that third wide receiver and turn this into one of the most exciting offenses in the NFL. I think if they get it right, this could be, you know, you could be very easily in contention for the NFC North. And then if you get to the playoffs, who knows? The Detroit Lions showed you that you can be a championship contender within a season.
Yeah.
I think that's in play if Ryan Poles gets this right. And I'm hoping that they go down the wide receiver route. To your point about what your head's telling you about that second edge rusher, this Bears defense was a top five defense in the last eight games of the season last year with Matt Eberflus. I want to see him develop this defense a little bit more and give yourself the offensive firepower. Let Caleb Williams go out and be successful in this first year. And I do think they can be in the playoff mix very easily in Caleb Williams' rookie season.
Yeah.
If you get this right.
You know, I was thinking too. Think about Shane Waldron's old team, the Seattle Seahawks, and how they sort of approached it. They had two really good wide receivers in the room before last year's draft.
Yep.
Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf, obviously the younger one, getting the money and all that stuff. That's kind of akin to what the Bears have with DJ Moore in the situation there. Tyler Lockett, kind of akin, and I'm not comparing the players, but I'm more so comparing the circumstance. But Tyler Lockett and Keenan Allen, both near the end of their careers. You know you're going to have to replace them at some point. So what they do, they went out and got Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Yep.
I think this is a similar situation here because I really like the way that the Seahawks sort of approached that. Now, it may not show up and like the full plan come to fruition because of the fact that you had a coaching change and who knows what the future of the quarterback's going to be like and all that. But I think the approach was right. You may not see the success there, but maybe the Bears can be the, oh, process and result. Mm-hmm. You get it here. And that's the situation you could be in with the wide receiver.
So the sexy pick is clearly the wide receiver. You laid out the reasons for why an edge rusher could be a smart play. Well, there's one insider who's very plugged in who says, you know what? Get ready, because you may not get either, Chicago. We'll share that with you coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. Listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM.
Plethora of stuff to get after and only 25 minutes to do it. I'm Jeff Meller along with Tyler Aki on Black and Abdallah this evening. White Sox Royals game has been postponed. You'll get a straight doubleheader coming your way tomorrow here on ESPN Chicago, your home of the White Sox, starting with your pregame coverage at 12:30.
All right. Is Carm going to Olive Garden tomorrow?
I would hope so. I mean,
they still have a show, I guess.
I think this would be the perfect time to have a feast of the seven fishes at Olive Garden,
no doubt.
Right? I would have to imagine you'd celebrate a doubleheader action tomorrow if you're Carm and the good kid and Black and Abdallah. All right, Tyler, so I do want to play this because when Field Yates speaks about Bears information, I listen. For those who are unfamiliar, Field Yates was working with Ryan Poles back in Kansas City when they got their start together in the scouting department there. So Field knows Ryan Poles very well, yes. Speaks very highly of him, and I do think Field Yates has broken a story or two regarding the Bears.
Yes.
So he has his finger on the pulse of what's going on up at Bears and Hall's Hall. And we were talking about Peter Schrager of the NFL Network and how he does a mock draft. And in his most recent mock draft, which is based not on what he thinks is going to happen, but what he's hearing in league circles. Mm-hmm. And so I put a little bit more stock into Schrager's mock draft as well, right? Well, Peter Schrager and Field Yates came together on Peter Schrager's podcast, The Season, and they did themselves a back-and-forth mock draft. And you noted that Field Yates had the odd-numbered picks, which, of course, would give you number one and number nine.
Conveniently, both Bears picks.
Yeah. So Field, of course, they selected Caleb Williams with the Bears' first overall pick. And when they got to nine with a couple, right, we said a couple receivers on the board?
No receivers on the board, but Joe Alt was on the board.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Yeah. So in this iteration of the mock draft, going back and forth, no receivers were left for the Bears to take. However, Joe Alt was still on the board, and yet Field Yates chose to do this with the Bears' pick.
And this is where it gets fun. Do you take a Joe Alt, or do you take a Troy Fa'utanu? And I'm going to lean towards Fa'utanu here.
Really? First one off the board. I love this.
First one off the board, yeah. So,
hey, no one had Wright going as the first offensive tackle last year, and he did. So this could be true.
This may be crazy, but so with Braxton Jones at left tackle, who's a third-year player now, fifth-round pick out of Southern Utah a few years ago. The Bears are in good shape, but not like this is not. I think he's a good player. I don't.
It's
think
not Jonathan Ogden. Yeah, right?
We're not. If he were to eventually be replaced by this player, it's not like you're replacing Trent Williams in his prime. Totally. Jonathan Ogden in his prime. So Troy Fa'utanu, who at worst, Peter, is your super sub at left tackle, left guard, right tackle. I think he's a day one starter at guard for the Bears, and maybe you're saying that this is too much of an investment for back-to-back years, taking a right tackle and then potentially an interior offensive lineman. You got a young quarterback. I am sort of saying, I don't care about conventional norms. I am taking Troy Fa'utanu here.
Does that, the wrong Washington player for Bears fans, yeah. I think.
My antenna certainly goes up when I hear something like that because of how tapped in Field is. And not just that, but also the Brad Biggs mock draft that we saw the other day where he had him passing on both receivers to trade back and select Troy Fa'utanu. And I think it maybe also gives you a little bit of intel about how the Bears maybe truly feel about Braxton Jones. Maybe they felt like he's more of the bridge tackle to get to the guy that they ultimately want. Now, Field also did open the door to maybe he's going to be a guard for this team.
Don't like it, Tyler.
And listen,
I
know Quentin Nelson worked out, but it's not the path I would go down.
And I would say this. Did he? Because Quentin Nelson had his first 2 years were excellent, mm-hmm. right? But the reality is the Colts built their line around a guard, mm-hmm. and ultimately he had some injury issues. And quickly, now that the injuries have kind of, you know, he hasn't been the same player that he was his first couple of years once they extended him to a big money deal. So I don't know if that's worked out all that well.
It could be that way. Like it certainly could be one of those things like initially sort of stuck it to the haters, but as it played out for the long term, less and less maybe felt that way. But I'm with regardless of whether or not that worked out, I'm not a fan of the practice. I would, if you're going to go out and get a guy, get the left tackle. If you are going to go left tackle, get the left tackle.
Especially in that exercise with Joe Alt being on the board, I'm not going to go Mike Francesa here and all. You recall what he said if the Jets pass on Joe Alt. Yeah. We played it a couple weeks ago. But, I mean, I will be very disappointed if you don't land one of those wide receivers and Joe Alt is still on the board and you choose to go with Fa'atanu. I mean, listen, it's great. He's got the versatility. You think he might be, you know, a potential Pro Bowl guard, and he could also be, you know, a tackle. But honestly, if you're going to invest the draft capital in a lineman, I want you to be locking up your left tackle unless you truly believe that Darnell Wright's your solution there in future years and you think you're also landing a potential all-pro at right tackle. Fine. You better not be doing it just because of the safety, though, that you could roll him in and be a guard. Like, this is too prime of an opportunity for the Bears to pass on that wide receiver option or potentially a tackle or an edge rusher.
This draft
can't be the guard.
Is too flush with
significant
players at significant positions to maybe solidifying your guard position for the next 10 years. It just is.
Don't like it. Don't like it when we're starting to hear Fa'atanu's name over and over again, though, from some very plugged-in insiders. It does start to worry me a bit. All right, we got a lot more to get after here. You were just, though, informing me. It could get wacky and wild in college sports here.
Yeah.
What's going on?
So there was a significant move into the transfer portal. Duke starting guard Jeremy Roach, who's going into his COVID season, has hit the transfer portal, which is some news that kind of came out of nowhere. Like, Jeremy Roach, he's been there for a while. Like, this seems like and be that classic four-year Duke guard. And he's going to the portal now, and it's because it seems like a lot of these kids, and there could be a number. I saw this tweet from Jeff Goodman. There could be a lot of big-time names hitting the portal very shortly.
All at the same time, basically.
Pretty much.
Why?
There's going to be a wave because the NIL checks for the month are going to start clearing, and then you get that money, and then you go to the portal after that.
And this is the final NIL check, right?
You might get a May 1, but it's probably
smaller. But if you want to move on, if you want to go ahead
you can
and
at least
start
get
making
a few,
the move.
Yeah, a few extra thousand in your bank account by just entering the portal a little bit later. Now, I believe the portal closes May 1st in basketball.
Okay.
So you do have to sort of make these decisions quickly, but it is interesting because NIL, it feels like there's these new sort of outs all along the way. You're seeing these guys get these last couple of checks, and then they're going to leave, and then they're going to sprint. And it's not like Duke is a pretty, it's on stable grounds right now. Like, I don't understand why you'd be leaving Duke, especially after making the tournament the last couple of years. You've got a coach, you've got infrastructure and all that.
And
it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Everybody, I think what we're finding out in college basketball these days is a mercenary because the money is plentiful. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Go and get yours while you can. I mean, Charlie Bevins is producing tonight here. What were you mentioning about Colorado football? What's going on there, Charlie?
Yeah, so it looks like, I think it was Shiloh Sanders who posted a picture on his Instagram story basically saying, defensive players in the transfer portal, DM me. offensive players, DM Shador. And then it says at the bottom, this is not last chance you.
What are they, directors of recruiting?
Like, exactly. Like, what are we doing?
Listen, man, when your dad's the coach and Coach Prime
isn't
your dad.
Isn't that his job, though? Shouldn't he be the one doing that?
Maybe like, not necessarily his job, his but kid? It's his assistant's jobs. You've got directors of recruiting. There are programs that I kid you not, are hiring general managers. DePaul basketball just hired LaVall Jordan as a assistant coach and general manager of the program. And it's smart. You should be going out.
If you're not, you're way behind.
Yes, you are.
You really should. If you're a college athletic director and you don't have someone manning this for you, you should create that position.
It's way bigger than that now. A general manager is not going to deal with recruiting. A general manager is going to deal with the portal because the portal is so much more important in college sports now than recruiting has gotten.
We have something happening at Brookfield Zoo for the first time in 90 years. We'll tell you what that is in Zoo News coming up next.
Black and Abdallah are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Thank you to Charlie Bevins and Jack McGrath for slipping in here and producing
on the fly
the Audible edition of Bleck and Abdallah with Meller and Aki as we step in for the postponed White Sox game. But the White Sox will be back at it tomorrow with a straight doubleheader against the Royals. So for your fill of baseball, we have it for you. Starting tomorrow afternoon, pregame coverage at 12:30. Connor McKnight will be here for that. All right, we have the game of the night, Tyler, as we always do here on Black and Abdallah. And what are we going to do for that?
Yeah, it's presented by Canlin Sports. It's where we play. So the Chicago Cubs and Arizona Diamondbacks have first pitch a little less than an hour from now. Kyle Hendricks is on the mound, and the Cubs are a +102 underdog tonight. The over-under is set at 10 right now. I don't know. The way Kyle Hendricks has been pitching, I feel like the over is a pretty good play at 10 right now.
I like where your head's at, and I will also add that Tommy Henry is not somebody who necessarily scares you on the mound for the Arizona Diamondbacks, so I think that's a strong play there. Some good advice. The over tonight in the Cubs-Diamondbacks
game. Michael Bush, I mean, he keeps hitting the way he's hitting.
He can't do it again, like, right?
Like, let's see. Well, his odds to hit a home run tonight are... He's +400, so 4-1 to hit a home run tonight. I mean, it's been the best story of the Cubs so far this season is the fact that he's emerged as quickly as he has. And if he plays like this, you really could talk about not just making the playoffs, but maybe not making a World Series run, but you could have maybe that 2015 type season where you get a couple of clutch hits in the postseason from a guy like Michael Bush, and it helps bring you to maybe an NLCS.
Yeah, no, I can't, especially
with the way that we've seen some of these pitchers drop this year, too. Like, Spencer Strider's not going to be in that Braves rotation in the playoffs. Tyler Glasnow has had his fair share of injuries over the course of his career. Could he go down for LA? Or, like, Yamamoto with LA as well. Like, he's a young guy and maybe hasn't been stretched out like this before. Like, I feel like I'm doomsday.
Your Cubby Blue is coming out here as you're wishing injuries
it's
upon.
It's honestly like who hasn't Grim had Reaper Tommy on NL yet. Pitchers right there.
Yeah. It always bums me out whenever you see a guy just, Strider was so much fun to watch. And, yeah. If you're a Cubs fan, you hate to see it. But, one of the best pitchers in baseball who just, there's not enough of them left in baseball. And with,
Who are the pitchers right now that get you to the game?
I mean, listen, you know,
Shohei's not pitching, right? Yeah.
No. Right now, listen. So I mean, I actually
take the injuries.
I'll tell you what. It's funny you brought this up because I literally was looking at the schedule the other day. I'm going to ask a couple of friends. Mm-hmm. The Baltimore Orioles are in town against the White Sox over Memorial Day weekend, and so I was mapping out when Corbin Burns might pitch because, for all things, he's one of the best pitchers going in baseball
right
now, and he's one of the last ones left, right? And so he's likely to pitch that first Friday, the first game of the series. You know, if whatever rain weather happens could be pushed to Saturday. But in all likelihood, I think he'll get a start for the Orioles. It's a four-game set. So in all likelihood, he will pitch one of the games over Memorial Day weekend when the Orioles come to town. So he's somebody who I'm interested in watching. And I've been on the Pittsburgh Pirates train since the beginning of the season. I've been telling you all about it. Well, they have their rookie Jared Jones, who I believe just wrapped up his start this evening. He went five innings of one-hit ball, no earned runs, seven strikeouts, although he left after 59 pitches. So, makes me wonder what's going on there.
Yeah.
But he struck out seven and didn't walk anybody. He's throwing over 100 miles per hour. He's awesome. He's a young pitcher you may want to familiarize yourself with if you're a baseball fan. And, oh, by the way, he's not even the best pitcher in the Pirates system because Paul Skeens, a.k.a. Mr. Olivia Dunn, the top overall pick last year, he should get the call at some point over the next month. So whenever he finally does get the call, I will be on the lookout to see when the Pirates are visiting Wrigley because he's somebody I want to see pitch in person.
59 pitches, 50 were strikes for Jared Jones.
And they took him out after 5 minutes.
Well, maybe that's why. Because you don't want to wear these arms out, especially a young guy like him. Who's, you're right, touching triple digits. You can't afford to do that with these prize pitchers.
But here's the crazy thing. I'll get back to Paul Skeens, too. There's no evidence that you're actually doing them any good by not letting them pitch. You know what I mean? Essentially, Paul Skeens pitching in the minors for the Pirates is just wasting pitches.
Yeah.
Get him up here. He's clearly ready. He's struck out, I think, 16 hitters in 9 innings. In the minors, he's dominating there. But I mentioned we have some big news happening locally in regards to Zoo News.
Well, hello, Mr. Lion. Here's the latest edition of the Zoo News.
All right, what do we got?
Brookfield Zoo.
Some Zoo News here.
Brookfield Zoo, which is actually right near my house, Tyler. Guess what? Brookfield Zoo will be welcoming back koalas. For the first time in 90 years.
The Brookfield Zoo's been around for 90 years?
Come on, man. Long-running zoo. Absolutely.
I wonder what's new at the zoo, baby.
Koalas are new at the zoo.
I didn't realize zoos have been around for... I feel like zoos are a novel concept.
Within the last,
like, 50 years type of deal.
No, man. They probably right in line with the circus. You know, shortly thereafter, they're like, this is a racket. Let's get in on it. But koalas will be back. They will be welcomed back on Memorial Day weekend to Brookfield Zoo for the first time in 90 years. How about that?
I didn't realize we had the infrastructure to house koalas here at a zoo 90 years ago.
So you know that koalas are, what was I going to say?
That's the Australian animal,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Zoos are like 5,000 years old.
Are they actually?
Yeah. One is 3,500 BC.
On the NBC5 article, it says for the first time in the zoo's 90 years history. So
there you go.
Around exactly 90 years.
There you go.
It's been around 90
years. Yeah, they're finally getting some koalas, some koala bears going.
Good for them. New breed into the zoo.
We're planning out your weekend for you on Memorial Day weekend. You go see the White Sox and Orioles to see Corbin Burns pitch. That's Memorial Day weekend when they will unveil them. Yes. So go catch Corbin Burns at the rate, and then you just
zip on over
to Brookfield Zoo on your way home and catch out the koalas. All right. So that about does it for us. We're wrapping things up here on Black and Abdallah, the impromptu Black and Abdallah, because the White Sox game against the Royals was postponed. You'll catch that tomorrow as the White Sox will have a straight doubleheader against the Royals at Guaranteed Rate. They will hopefully get both those in. Weather looks much better tomorrow. So you'll have White Sox and Royals coming your way, trying to figure out here. I know Michael Wacha was scheduled for the Royals, and I know Michael Wacha was scheduled for the Royals.
Yeah, because you're streaming pitchers.
I am. I'm streaming everybody against the White Sox offense these days in my fantasy baseball league because it's something that cannot be beat. You can't beat it. You know you're getting basically a shutout every time from the opposition. So.
Right, yeah.
So Michael Wacha will be on the hill and Brady Singer will also be on the hill for the Royals. And then, of course, the White Sox will have people pitching. It all starts tomorrow at 12:30 right here on ESPN Chicago.